The GAA program with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vergas Fáilte, good evening, Clare coming, Luke Claskill, and a shock on the show. Let me, Tom Comack, with you as always on a Wednesday night. And, well, we got a bumper program again lined up for you tonight. Of course, the Ulster Championship got up and running at the weekend and went along very much predictable lines. Donegal were too good for Antrim, and Monaghan overcame Fermanagh after maybe a tight struggle for three quarters of the game. But the big two came through, the big team came through, and Connacht as well, Mayo, saw off Sligo without any little fuss. Sligo defeated Wicklow in Leinster. And the big weekend, shock of the weekend, of course, was Carlo, the Minnows of football, defeating a highly fancied Wexford team under Seamus Banty McEnany. But coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be joined by Damien Dowd, the PRO of the Burt Club. And of course, Burt are back in Donegal Senior Championship football for the first time this season after winning the Intermediate Championship last year. For the first time in 16 years, in actual fact. And, well, we're not going to talk an awful lot about that tonight, because we're going to talk about the Inishowen club's great history, and rich history, it has to be said. Because did you know that Burt actually won a senior championship in Derry way back in, well, we'll find out from Damien pretty soon. But before that, first of all, we get a reaction and hear what Rory Gallagher thought of Donegal's 3-19-1-9 win over Antrim last Sunday in Ballybuffey.
Nice to win, so it is. Look, you know, the reality is we fully expect to win. We're operating out of Division 1. Antrim are, you know, having a, you know, difficult week or 10 days. You know, add in, you know, they're relegated Division 4. We feel we've got very good players. We probably didn't play as well as we'd liked, but, you know, in the second half we showed some good moments.
So it's maybe a start, which is maybe understandable. They got off to a good start.
They never really opened up too much of a lead. I think they got the first two scores. In fairness, Tomás inside, as he always does, looked very sharp, kicked a couple of great scores. CJ Neal, three great frees, you know, I think, you know, with the breeze. So it is. But we went did the storm, and we probably overplayed a couple of passes and one thing or another, but once we get the goal, I think we're in good position.
You were in great position at half time, having the wind in the second half.
We would have felt, you know, going out there any day, it's a 5-6 point breeze. We played here often enough, and while it didn't look Gael for us, you know, elsewhere, we felt it was a strong breeze and worthy of, you know we should, you know, we'd like to think if we were playing with it, we'd put 4, 5, 6 points on teams.
As you said, it was a game you were always expected to win. How do you prepare for that and go out and give the performance like you did in the second half?
Well, we prepare very well, you know, we do our homework in every opposition, so we do. You know, that's why we've had, you know, a very successful strike rate in the first round in Ulster in the last number of years, and so it is. But we're well aware at the end of the day that, you know, we're expected to win. We've got very talented footballers, that's why we're operating in that division, but it's a matter of going out and doing it. But look, we expected nerves, you know, from, I think we had maybe, I don't know, 6 players, possibly 7 players starting their first ever championship matches, you know, and we expect a wee bit of time for them to bed in, and look, we're fortunate enough the way Jamie got the goal, it gives that cushion.
Was it an easy game enough to get your championship up and running?
It worked out that way, Tom. There's no doubt about it. So it is, you know, when you score 3-19 and right up until the last minute before the goal, whatever was in it, you know, it was comfortable, you know. Listen, Paddy, I suppose he obviously got injured in the Roscommon game, missed a lot of football. He's been working his way back to fitness and getting into form, you know, himself. Carl, Martin McElhinney and Owen McHugh, before guys, you know, we'd pick, you know, most days that we would, you know. I think we, you know, since I become manager, the four of them have played nearly every day, you know, particularly in the last 12 months, so they have, when they've been fit. And the reality is that, you know, they missed those chunks of training, so they're working themselves way back to fitness. And I suppose we made a decision that the other players had that wee bit more game time in them and that bit more.
Moving forward, there's going to be a stiffer test. Is that game really any good to you from that sense?
Listen, it's good to get championship games under lads' belts. As I said, I think we'd 7 guys starting the first championship game. So it is, which is, you know, it's a huge amount of players starting the first championship game. So it is. So, you know, I think it'll stand to us no matter what. But the big thing is we've 4 weeks now training to get our performance levels up. You know, it can be difficult in Donegal with 13 fellas in Dublin and with fellas in Belfast. They've all been coming home. We haven't had too many away the last couple of weeks, and exams will be finishing up this week totally. So that's what we're looking forward to more than anything.
Kieran Gillespie, how close is he to coming back?
I think he's in good shape, you know, so he is. You know, he's just had too many setbacks, unfortunately, and, you know, he's in good shape, you know, but I'd like to think in 4 weeks' time he'd be...
Rory Gallagher there speaking to me after Sunday's 3-19-1-9 victory over Antrim in McCool Park in that Ulster Senior Championship quarter final. And of course, disappointment on Sunday for Donegal Miners, beaten by Antrim 21-2-14 in a cracking game in extra time. That game swung Donegal's way and then swung Antrim's way. Antrim probably the better team overall, it has to be said. They were well in front when Donegal got a softish goal goal to bring them back into the game, but one felt when Donegal went four up in extra time that they were going to take it, but Antrim showed a resolve, and Rory Brawley, 16-year-old son of the great Joe, came on and he scored a couple of points and turned the tide again, and Antrim went on to win, and we wish them well in the semi-final. Of course, they'd be playing either Derry or Tyrone, probably two of the best teams in Ulster in the minor championship. They're meeting on Sunday in Celtic Park, of course, curtain raiser to that senior championship meeting of Derry and Tyrone as well. We'll talk about that a little later on. But we've gone to the West for the first time this season as well. Martin Carney, a regular guest with us here, the former Donegal and Mayo star, and of course, current RT radio commentator as well. And we've been speaking to him to find out what he thought of the weekend's action.
Martin, delighted as always that you could join us tonight, and the championship up and running properly at the weekend. I know you were out and about. You were in Monaghan on Clonus on Saturday night for Monaghan and Fermanagh, and in Castlebar on Sunday for Sligo and Mayo.
Yeah, I was in Saturday night. I was up watching Monaghan beat Fermanagh. I suppose to a degree, Tom, there was a sense of the inevitable about it. Like, okay, it may have been only a two-point game at halftime, but I think the strength of the Monaghan bench made the difference. I think Owen Duffy in particular, when he came in, and Dermot Malone, they both did very well. And obviously they had Desi Moan as well to come in. But Fermanagh had very little on the bench. And I thought the fact that Monaghan, Tom, play in the first division, and Fermanagh, I think, ultimately got relegated to the third division, you could see the gulf actually in fitness apart from anything else as the game developed. And really in the last 20 minutes was so one-sided. And then when you look at our own county, Donegal, I mean, like, they looked very, very good. Very okay, they weren't maybe tested particularly well by Antrim, but what's hugely encouraging is the emergence of new players, and they all seem to be fitting in very, very neatly into the system. And again, a very encouraging win for Donegal. I was in Castlebar on Sunday, and Mayo were not particularly impressive, Tom, against Sligo. Sligo were extremely well organised. I thought they played a very clever game against Mayo, and Mayo just didn't seem to have the energy levels or the intensity that you would have maybe, that I suppose you'd be looking to see from them if they're to go on and maybe, you know, win the ultimate prize. But they'll be happy enough now, maybe, you know, to have got past Sligo and hopefully kind of up their game a couple of notches by the time they meet Galway in a couple of weeks' time. But I suppose the big, the really shock result of the weekend was Carlow beating Wexford. I mean, none of us saw that coming, because like with Banty McEnany going down to manage Wexford, you would have thought that, right, they had a very, very good guy in charge of them, but it all imploded with the Munster midfielders went, and Carlow certainly deserved that win.
Yeah, and of course Wexford had won promotion as well, hadn't they?
That's right, Wexford had won promotion, and Carlow have been languishing, I think, for years, I think, in the fourth division. Now, they only were a point behind Wexford this year in Division 4. I think Westmeath topped the division with 13 points, Wexford at 10 and Carlow at 9. So there were signs there in that, that there wasn't too much in it. And remember, too, in the last game of the league, Tom, Carlow beat Wexford 2-14-1-7 in the last game of the league. Now, in fairness, I think Wexford were playing a little bit of games in that, and didn't actually maybe show their full hand, knowing that they were going to meet Carlow a few weeks later in the championship. But look at it, it all backfired on them. Mm.
I suppose it is the romance of the championship, and maybe a great argument for those that want to persist with it.
Well, there is that to it, but I honestly believe, Tom, that, and I was reading Johnny McGee there, the Wicklow manager, on Monday, and he and an awful lot of other managers believe that there should be a separate championship for the guys that are in maybe the lower divisions to give them a competitive, a genuinely competitive series of games over the summer. And I'm beginning to kind of lean that way, even though I see your point about last Sunday, you know, the romance of it, and now Carlow maybe getting a win. I think that was their first win maybe in 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
But I honestly believe that the whole thing is, evolving towards maybe a two-tier championship, but it'll still take a few years before that gets through Congress.
Yeah. Back to Mayo for a minute. What is the feeling in Mayo this year?
There's still a lot of optimism, I suppose. But it's been tempered somewhat by the reality, Tom, that these guys are coming near the end of their careers. Like, if you look at it, David Clark is 35. Then you take the full back line last Sunday of Chris Barger, Cafferty and Keith Higgins. All of those were on the under 21 team that won the All-Ireland in 2006, as indeed was Colin Boyle. So you have four of the defence were on an All-Ireland under 21 winning team. And like they've gone through the 30s, but it's not so much that they're still young enough to play on, but Tom, they've hardly missed football, and like they've been consistently involved with the team right to the bitter end most years actually since then. You know, you look at the same kind of thing can be said of Shamey O'Shea and up front then, you know, of Kevin McLaughlin and Andy Moran. So I would say a lot of their players like are in the, certainly the autumn of their careers, and I think myself, if it doesn't work out this year, a lot of the lads will opt out, and I'm not so sure if there are ready-made replacements there to actually keep the team at the, you know, in the top levels where they have been over the last 5 years.
And the opposition in Connacht is going to come from Galway.
Galway are the team. You know, I met a guy yesterday. I was down at the finish of the Ross there. Ross Nahir and like the cycle race in Newport on Monday, and I met this fellow Galway man, and he says to me, do you remember what I said 4 years ago to me? Well, I wouldn't remember what a man said 4 minutes ago to me, but I says, remind me. Well, he says, Galway will come with a team and win an All-Ireland again before Mayo. And of course, he's a Dunmore man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying that'll work out, but there is no doubt about it. They will come up with a team in the next 2 or 3 years that will be knocking at the door. And when you think of it this way, Tom, like the current Dublin team, a lot of those will be moving on soon, although I think they have ready replacements. But I think we said the team that we're going to kind of see over a long period, lengthy time, again, is going to be Kerry. Like, I mean, the more things change, the more they say the same. But they have had so many good underage teams coming through. Well, it's the last four Hogan Cups.
Yeah.
They're going for three in a row All-Ireland minors. They have so many quality players. They have a young fella, Clifford Ladd, a corner forward at the moment, going for his third minor title in a row. But he, to me, is the finest forward I've seen, if he stays healthy and stays ambitious and stays in the game.
Yeah. And overall, where do you see the scheme of things? Are you in the school of thought where there's Dublin, there's Kerry, there's Mayo, Donegal, Monaghan, Tyrone?
Well, they would be like the obvious choices will come from the First Division, and all those you have mentioned, Tom, are in the First Division. Dublin and Kerry probably are the top two. I do believe in third place is Donegal. I genuinely believe that I cannot get over actually how they have, how the young fellas have knitted in so seamlessly into the system and are playing a much more exciting brand of football this year. Now, it may be okay, the other side of the coin is maybe they're not as tight defensively as they were. But I think they and Monaghan will be knocking at the door. I'm not so sure about Mayo. I wouldn't have an awful lot of hope for Tyrone either, Tom. Now, that might sound kind of maybe unduly pessimistic about them, but I saw them the night in Ballybuffet. I was there the night in Ballybuffet where I think they only scored 6 points. I went up a week or two later, I saw them play Mayo and Oma, and Their forwards were dreadful that night. And remember last year against Mayo in the All-Ireland semi-final or quarter-final, they kicked wide after wide against Mayo. So I don't honestly believe that they have the forwards at the moment to actually, rattle the big prize. And outside that, I don't know where you go looking for teams unless maybe Galway come very, very quickly, and I don't think that is a reality.
Yeah, and obviously there's action this weekend. Leitrim are in London, Tyrone are in Derry. Derry have fallen from a height.
Oh, Derry, I can't get over. Like, it was very dispiriting from a Derry point of view for followers of Derry football. Okay, they got relegated to Division 3 this year. But what must be very dispiriting is that the players won't turn out for the county. They're prepared to play. An awful lot of the players seem to want to play club football and let the county go its own way. And I think that's a desperately sad state of affairs. But look at everybody's to their own. Leitrim and London, Leitrim won the Connacht Junior Championship 2 weeks ago now. They beat Mayo in the final in Charlestown. That'll give them a bit of encouragement. But I think if there was any team vulnerable this weekend, it would be Leitrim, actually, in Ruislip. Because London, I just think they're always capable of producing a very, very good display, and Leitrim could be vulnerable this weekend.
But overall they're not going to be at the business end either.
They won't be at the business end. Like, I mean, your own county, Roscommon, will play the winners of the Leitrim London game. And okay, they can say what they like to about Roscommon, but Roscommon will be in a Connacht final. And they'll be there or thereabouts at the business end of the season. They'll get to an All-Ireland quarter-final, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, mark my words on this, Tom, they have good forwards.
Yeah.
They have good forwards. And
But I think there's too many players walked away, no more than in Derry.
That's the despair thing from their point of view as well, that there is a division there, and you know it, Tom, and I know it. There is a division within the county that's actually maybe just souring players from playing, and it's a shame that that's the case.
Look at Martin, it's good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure, Tom, and thank you.
Former Donegal and Mayo star and, of course, current RTÉ analyst and commentator Martin Carney, giving his thoughts on the weekend action and also on the runners and riders as he sees them for the championship. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll be joined by Damien Dowds to talk about that great, rich history of Burt.
A week in the sun, a cruise holiday, or something with lots of activity for the kids. Whatever holiday you're looking for, Liberty Travel can save you endless hours on the net. Through their preferred partners, Liberty often have exclusive deals before they're advertised.
And gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Jeeve, agus Fáilte ar Ais, good you and Clara coming Luke Glasgow in the shock than a show. Before the break there, we heard from Rory Gallagher and from Martin Carney, and we'll be joined in a moment by Damien Dowds of Burt, and of course Burt are back in the Donegal Senior Championship for the first time in 16 seasons, but that's in his own club, of course, a Jude club, better known probably for hurling in recent decades, but they have a rich history in football as well, going back to the earlier years of the association. We'll talk to Damien about that in a moment, but just to remind you again, of course, you can text us on 086 60 25000, or if you want to text us from the north of Ireland, it's 00353 86 60 25000. And to just remind you again, of course, of our new listen back, you can listen back to the programme if you missed part of the programme, or if you heard something that maybe you want to hear again, you can do so by listening back to on www.highlandradio.com. That's from tomorrow morning, or on the Highland Radio app. And I know we have actually people listening all over the world on the World Wide Web as well, so you're all very welcome tonight. And I'm sure there's a few Burt people listening abroad as well, because it's a big weekend in Burt this weekend, back in the Donegal Senior Championship after, 16 seasons, and I suppose after a first ever win in the Intermediate Championship. Damien Dowds, is there football fever in Burt this week?
It's starting to rise. Everyone's looking forward to the return of the Senior Championship at Hibernian Park this weekend. We've just completed clubhouse extension over the last 12 or 18 months there.
Yeah, a little bit short notice, I suppose, really.
I suppose the game was originally scheduled to be played along with the rest of them on the 7th of May, but then the county hurlers, having done the hard work and beaten Armagh in the first game in the Record Cup, fell to a surprise defeat to Tyrone in the second game, and that knocked out the game on the weekend of the 7th. So we only got the final confirmation last Tuesday week that the game was going ahead this Sunday, short enough notice, and there's a couple of men flying back from abroad, and there's boys just finishing up exams and stuff, but as far as I know, the boys will have everybody back for the weekend, so we're really looking forward to being back in the
and I know you celebrated the Intermediate Championship with great gusto, because you'd won it in style in a replay against a highly fancied Milford, and it meant a lot to the football people in the club. I know it meant a lot to everybody in the club, but especially the football people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, for most of our history in Donegal competition, like, we've had a very poor championship record, and that was our first ever, last year was our first ever intermediate final, and to go on and to win it, and to win it after a replay against such a highly fancy team, as you say, like, was absolutely tremendous, like, you know, and there was great celebrations in it, and it was, you know, it was a great come together for the whole club. You know, the boys had lost the county hurley final a month or 6 weeks earlier, and they got the chance to kind of put some of that right and get a bit of silverware on the board, so you know, that just, it turned out very well for us. And of course, part of the prize is to be entered in the senior championship. You know, you were saying it's 16 years since last we played in a town. Back then it was very much based on your league form that decided whether you played in the senior, the junior, or the intermediate, like, you know. So at that stage we were operating in Division 1 of the All County League in 2001, and we had played in it prior to that in 1998 as well. But you know, now it's, there's a different structure in place, and you have to actually win your intermediate challenge to qualify.
Anyway, Damien, we'll talk plenty about Sunday's game, I'm sure, on Saturday with Ronan and other people. But I want to talk to you tonight about your early history, because you were probably playing football in Donegal before a lot of teams and a lot of clubs. And as I said, you're probably more known as a hurling club now. And actually, you won a championship in Derry. Tell us about that.
Yeah, back in 1931, Bourke and a lot of, actually all the Inishowen clubs at that stage were playing their football and hurling in Derry, in County Derry, in the Derry competitions. Like, you know, the GAA, I suppose, in Donegal had been quite slow getting off the ground, and I suppose up here in Inishowen we were that close. The Swilly Railway was operating, like, so it meant getting to Derry and getting to parts of Derry, the city and the county, was handier than travelling across a county the size of Donegal. You know, at that time, you know, people didn't really have cars or buses in the same way that you'd have today, and so it was kind of a natural hinterland for us. So all the Inishowen clubs were playing in Derry, and in 1931 a Bourke team went on and won the Derry Football Championship. They won the Derry Hurley Championship that year too. They did a double, a bit like Slochneil 100 years or 80 years before Slochneil.
Yeah, so they were, Slochneil weren't the first club to do it.
No, that's it. We did. It was done back in 1931 with Bourke, as you said, playing in the football. They came through. They played. There seemed to be a lot of city teams playing at that stage. So while the likes of Ballon Derry and Glen Owen had won it in the late 20s, teams that we'd still be familiar with today, there was a lot of city clubs, clubs in the Waterside. There was a St. Patrick's Karate from the Waterside and a team called Wolf Tones, which I believe was also a city team that Bourke played in the final, and they won it in some style. They won the semi-final on the 1st of May 1931. I have the Against the Grain club history in front of me, Tom, so we have a lot of information gathered over the years on what happened. But they won the semi-final of the Derry Football Championship on the 1st of May 1931, and then on the 31st of May in a game played at the Brandywell
Brandywell
at Brandywell, just as that, yeah,
probably Celtic Park
in that vicinity. I mean, those have been sports pitches for an awful long time there, side by side as they are, and Bourke beat Wolf Tones in the Derry County Final by 2-4 to a point, so they did really well there. And you know, a lot of the names of the players that played, we even have a photograph from that. You know, it's quite rare to have old photographs for Gaelic games teams going back, what's that, 85, 86 years. But we have a photograph of the team, and you know, a lot of the same names that will be lining out at the weekend and have lined out all down through the years for Bourke were represented in that. There's McLaughlin's, there's McBride's, there's Gallagher's, and my own grandfather, Josie Dowds, is in it as well. Like, so, you know, you just see some of the same families and some of the same names recurring down.
Yeah, you sent me on that photograph, and I copied it off here, and I thought it quite funny, actually. This what, two guys in the photograph, and they're smoking. I think
they're
wood.
They
have wood binds.
I
presume it's wood binds. I'm not sure.
That's likely the way it was done at that time. You know, I mean, I think that's long before people were concerned about the impact that smoking might have on your fitness. But yeah, there's a lot of people who are still related. Like Ronan McLaughlin is managing the board senior footballers now, and obviously was our manager last year. And his grandfather, Denny McLaughlin, was playing in defence on that team as well. Like, you know, so just, you know, great family connections going back down there. But as I say, back at that stage in the late 20s and into the early 30s, the Inishowen teams played there.
Yeah, because I see Buncrana had a team in that league as well.
Buncrana, Cairn Donough had teams in that. Teams from Inch and Bournefoot and so on played in Derry as well. But I think in and around kind of the mid-1930s, this wasn't happening alone in between Donegal and Derry, between Inishowen and Derry. This was happening in different parts of the country. And the GAA then nationally passed a rule sometime in the maybe 33 or 34 saying that clubs had to play within their own county boundaries. And that kind of put an end to the Inishowen clubs participating in Derry.
And what's your earliest record, or the club's earliest record, of actually playing football?
It goes back to 1888, Tom. And again, there was a Derry connection in that.
Did that have been the first club, one of them?
Well, it's the oldest club, the continuous club in Donegal. Anyway, like, I mean, that's only what, 3 or 4 years after the 4 years after the GAA was formed. So what seems to have happened was there was a school teacher, I think it was, that was in Derry City, and he came out and he met with the Gaels of Bourke. You see, the game of hurling, or camming as it was called up around here, was played long before the GAA was set up by Michael Cusack in 1884, but it took a while for it to spread around the country. So the game has been played. We have folk memory, or we have an interview actually that was done in 1966 with old men who were in their 80s and 90s at that stage talking, and their memories and their father's memories took them back to say that the game was being played in Bourke just shortly after the famine, like in the 1850s and 1860s. So they joined the GAA at the invitation of this Derry teacher. He suggested in 1888 that maybe Bourke would consider joining the GAA, this new association that had been set up to promote Gaelic games.
Damien, unfortunately, the clock is catching up on us. Look, we'll have to bring you back and we'll talk about that again. And no doubt we will get a chance. The best luck to Bourke on Sunday, and the best luck to Kelly Beggs as well. We have to remain impartial and hopefully you have a good day. My thanks to Damien Dowds, to Martin Carney, and to Rory Gallagher as well, and to Jimmy Stafford as usual. And good G and Chocht and Shahogin from me, Tom Cormack, Stonagas Bannock.